and life. Bless us with the wisdom to accept and to appreciate your words and enrich our life with a life that really corresponds to what we know about you, and enrich us. And thank you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you know, I have been in this church, by next year will be 40 years. And I always have a picture about our church. Our church is a group of people and brothers and sisters who are from various age group and the national origin, socioeconomic status, and getting together in worship our mighty God with passion, purity, love, and great faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I also have a vision that our brothers and sisters are making progress in not conforming to the desire of this world, but being transformed by the grace, mercy, and the power and the love of our God, so that we are not enslaved by the desire and the culture of this world. I have a vision of CCNJ, whose brothers and sisters serving each other with encouragement and supplication. I have a vision of our brother and sister CCNJ. They are free from complicated relationships, especially free from the problem of self-justification. Free from the problem of self-justification. Concerning to the problem of self-justification, I come to you today in weakness, with great trembling to preach God's words. Therefore, my message today is not with wise, persuasive words, but I hope it is a demonstration of the power of the word of God, so that our faith may not rest upon human wisdom, but on God's power. So not on human wisdom, but on God's power. This year in February, I have a chance to give a sermon entitled The Problem of Self-Centeredness. It's essentially the problem of self-centered life. We review the story of Jesus' disciples, James and John. They wish to sit on the left and the right side of Jesus while our Lord Jesus was about to be nailed on the cross. Jesus told them, whoever wants to become great among you all, be the servant to all others. So after that sermon, one sister in our congregation encouraged me to extend a little deeper into other related issues that arise from the self-centered life. Self-centeredness usually leads to self-justification. And self-justification and judge others always go together as justification by faith and the serving others go together. Let me repeat again. Self-justification and judge others go together as justification by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and serving others go together. Okay. Today, I will talk about the problem of self-justification. I come up with this title by studying the book of Judges. Book of Judges. In the book of Judges, the last three chapters, chapter 19, 20, and 21, describe a very gruesome story. And it was a story of death of a Levi woman who married to a Levi man. And this woman actually is this Levi's concubine. And this woman, she ran away from her husband and had relationship with others. And eventually, she had to run away from the home and went back to her parents. And this Levi man was very distraught. So after a while, he went to her hometown, pretty far away, and wanted her to come back. And after a few days staying with her house, and they start to leave and went to their own home. During the trip back, because it is getting so late at night, so they stay in a stranger's home. And on that night, that's in the area of Benjamin tribe. You know, Jewish has 12 tribes. And at that night, a group of gangsters, they tried to push their door out. They asked them to turn over this Levi man, and they want to reap this Levi man. You know, that's the very best customer at that time. And after they resist, but they try to push the door. And finally, this Levi man pushed her own concubine out of the door. And then the gangster from Benjamin tribe raped her all night. And at daylight, she passed away, she died. So the next morning, Levi man saw her husband's dead body, and he was so mad, he took the women and put on the donkey and went home. Once he got home, he cut his wife into 12 pieces, sent each piece to each of the 12 tribes of Israelite nation. And because of this, the whole the Israel nation start to get into a civil war. More than 65,000 people died on all the tribesmen. And eventually, the Benjamin tribe, the one they have gangster kill this lady, almost wiped out, being wiped out, because they kill all the men, and women and the children. Only 600 Benjamin men run away. So, in order to repopulate the Benjamin tribe, you know, Israel has 12 tribes. They do not want to see one of the tribes become extinct. So what they did is, after they killed this them, they want to make sure the remaining 600 Benjamin tribe men has a wife. And what they did is, they decide to kill one of the villagers, they did not join this civil war at the beginning. This tribe called the Jabesh Gilead, they live in Gilead, that area. So what they did is they go through that village. They kill all the men, all the married women, all the children, and only leave the unmarried virgin in there. So therefore, they ask the tribe of Benjamin who committed the crime, killed that woman, ask them to go to this Gilead village to take all the virgins and forcefully to marry them to the remaining 600 Benjamin tribe men. So this is another crime. And after that, they make peace of each other. And this is pretty much the problem of this story. Now, let's come to the issue about self-justification. Self-justification actually happened to almost everybody. If you think about the Bible history from Adam and Eve, right? What they did about that the fruit. And Adam blamed his wife, blamed God that you gave that woman to me, right? And the women blamed that the snake you made. So everybody have a reason to justify their action. And then you go down the history. And during the Exodus of Egypt, Aaron justified that he made golden calf for them to worship because he blamed those Israelites, forced him, they want to worship something, so forced him to make the golden calf. But Aaron is a leader. He even blamed the Israelites for doing that. And remember, there are five servants to the master. Before the master went out to a far place, he gave 10 talent, 5 talent, and 1 talent to each of the 3 servants. The one with the only 1 talent, he did not invest the money. He buried it in the ground, and he blamed his master. He is a very harsh man. Usually he does not require reward and a profit even from such a little money. And the big brother blamed his father unfair treatment to him because he played favor to his prodigal son. Just look at the whole history of the Bible. A lot of problems come up from self-justification issues. So therefore, this is a very important issue to us. Now, let's look at the self-justification issues about this event in the book of Judges. Did you catch how this Levite man made sense what happened to his wife? He said he was thinking that those evil men from Benjamin tribe abused his concubine and killed her. They were to be blamed, okay? They were to be blamed. But wait a minute. It is him, it is the Levite man, push his wife outside the house. And also, he is a priestly man. He is pastor maybe? Had a concubine, right? Had a concubine. So the Levite pushed his wife out the door. His heart probably was hardened by the self-centered culture of male privilege. At that time, the women at that time was treated very badly. Or he subconsciously want to have his wife, his concubine, punished. Or he was so afraid of his own life. So whatever his justification, he's the one push his wife out, let her to be killed. So from that point of her, his heart is already pretty hardened. Now, the hardness of heart is the sin of man. The hardening of heart is the punishment of God. Think about this. Do you remember the story of Moses' engagement with Pharaoh? Yeah, Moses engaged with Pharaoh. And my memory just still 286, turns so slowly. Okay, now, because of the Benjamin gangster did these terrible sins, their heart is already hardened by their culture, their habit, or their desire. Before they start the war with the Benjamin tribe, you know what happened to them? They prayed to God that should we go to fight with the Benjamin tribe? And Jesus said, okay, all right. They said, we got the God blessing, we go fight. The first fight, they have so many people killed. They failed. Benjamin, even though a small tribe, actually defeated them. So when they come back from the defeat, they were so sad. They come back to God again. They cry, and they offer burnt offering and peace offering. Ask God to bless them. And also they ask God, should we go to fight with the Benjamin tribe? God said, go ahead. So they did. The second time, they failed again. Little tribe Benjamin defeated them, a whole army. Now, the third time, they start to worry. So they ask God again, and are you sure we're going to win? The God said, go ahead. This time, I will make sure you win, right? The third time, they did. After three times, there 65,000 people died. Now, the question is, come to our heart, why God allowed them to do that? Have you ever think about that? Why did God allow them to do this unnecessary killing of each other? I remember last week, Pastor Paul discussed a subject of eye for eye, right? One of the principles in the Old Testament time is the punishment should be proportional to the crime, the nature of the crime. But even with that rule, I think they just do the too much because they almost wipe out the entire Benjamin tribe. And then why God accept their request, their prayer, and allow them to fight this civil war? This comes to the point that if you look the entire history of the Bible, this is the principle to me about the problem of self-justification. When our heart is already very hardened and we do not repent, the hardening of a heart will be the punishment of our God. Think about the event happened to Pharaoh and Moses. During that description, Pharaoh promised Moses talked to Pharaoh, asked him to relieve the Israelites. But after six times, Pharaoh won't allow. Okay, after the sixth time, then he said, okay, let's go. But then he still rebuked. So actually, Moses did seven times give Pharaoh opportunity to repent and let Israelite go. But Israel finally seven times refused. And eventually, God punished the first son, right? So this principle, we have to be very much careful about what happened to us. Sometimes happen to your workplace, your family, or in church even. People are so stubborn in their mind that when they pray to God, they think God is on their side. But actually, God just let them go ahead. If God forsakes you, that's the most terrible sins. He just let you go. Do whatever you want. And the price will be seen in the later stage. Okay. See, in Revelation chapter 22:11 says, let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to do vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right. And let the holy person continue to be holy. See, this one verse really illustrates the relation of our sin, our crime, and how God responds to us. God gave Pharaoh seven times of a chance, and he does not repent. And then finally, when God decides to punish you, he will harden your heart. But actually, for Pharaoh's case, all along, God knows that he's not going to release. So in there, you will find out in the Exodus, you will find out that there's a word in the Bible saying, God hardening his heart. God hardening his heart. Just like this Revelation 22:11. This is the last chapter of the book. So the principle of here is that God eventually will harden your heart. Then when you reach that stage, it's terrible sins. Just like this story about the story of the kings, right? The book of Judges, the book of Judges. Oh, my computer getting slower. Maybe need some clean up. Anyway, just like the Judges, and they eventually received the punishment from God, even though they think they are on God's side. And another risk is this. I don't know whether you think about it. Because of this problem of self-justification, because of a hardened heart, repeated hardening of a heart, then the hardening of a heart by Lord, by God, really sometimes blunts our judgment. Do you think so? After you repeatedly doing the same sin and won't repent, apologize to people and insist on your view, whether in your own family, all right? That's going to create a lot of problems. Blunt your judgment. Blunt your judgment. I have I know somebody in one of the other churches. this man, he liked to the date with other girls. And when the relation failed, I call that a complicated relationship, failed, and he did not really examine why that fails. Because the girl who broke up with him and told me that he really wanted to do a lot of things for a young girl. You know, they are not even married. Okay. Anyway, when the relationship failed, he feels so embarrassed. He just decided to go to other church, doing the same thing, okay? And then he even tell the some of the brother of his original church, oh, this church is terrible. They are so conservative. They only believe this and believe that. And don't stay in that church. Go to other church because, you know, because of what? He did not tell the truth. He, because his faith lost, he wanted to justify himself. Because he repeated doing the same kind of things. You know what? God just let him do it, harden his heart, then blind his judgment. This is going to happen really in big time. I saw this in some of the people. I saw that sometimes even myself, I just give excuse to justify what I said. But fortunately, we have God with us, and God remind us. We have to come to him and to repent and ask God to forgive us. And what do we mean by compounds our sin? Just like the story of this book of Judges, the Israelites, they want to cover their own sin. They want to feel better, so they decide to have the Benjamin tribe, the remaining 600 men of Benjamin tribe, to marry, not become an extinct tribe. So what they did, okay, these people, this village in Jabesh Gilead did not participate in this civil war. So they didn't support us. Therefore, they pray again, and they think God's on their side. So they go in there, wipe out the entire village, except the 600 men, run away, all right? And then ask Benjamin tribe to marry those young virgins. You know, sometimes because their heart is so hardened and they blind their judgment, and they commit another sin, another crime. So this is what I'm saying. If we keep promote our self-justification, our heart will be hardened, and God will hardening our heart and blind our judgment, and eventually we commit another crime, another sin, and compound the sin upon the sin. This is what I mean, okay? So what lesson we learn from this story from the book of Judges? First, we are on the right side of a righteous God. You know, many people apply very rule. The rule itself is good. The rule itself is good. But they apply that rule in a wrong time, a wrong way, or in a wrong manner, a wrong attitude, a wrong timing, which may cause a lot of problems. They think they are on the right side of God. Therefore, they can tell you the truth with love. But the way he presented the truth was covered because of the timing, the attitude, and the language used is totally inappropriate. So the Israelites think that they were on the right side of God after they offer the burn offering, peace offering to God. So that's the reason I'm saying sometimes we think we're on the right side of God. Even say in church, some people that are very faithful to God, they are live very holy life, but when they see somebody doing something a little bit out of that rule, immediately judgment come, right? Say something. So we have to be careful about that. We are on the right side of God. And the second thing is, what is right or what is wrong? Just like these Israelites. You know, what's right or wrong? Okay, I prayed to God already. How come he did not listen to me? So I'm going to do it this way anyway. So what is right and what is wrong? And also, what God is saying to you and what is your standing before God? So we have to understand that. What God is saying to you. And this happened to many of us. When we pray, I saw this is what God say to me. So, well, sometimes God say to you that in order to really truly understand God, we have to learn how to listen to God. And to listen to God, you have to learn God's word in your heart. That word help you to listen to what God's saying to you. And also, what is our standing before God? And sometimes we think we stand in very well. My whole family is come from Christian family, and since my great-great grandfather, all those generations are Christians. But we use a very stringent rule to judge others. So what is our standing before God? Now, this morning, I'm going to ask you a question. What is the difference between self-justification and justification by grace? Think about the question. What is the difference between self-justification and justification by grace? Now, self-justification causes the hardness of a heart. And we defend our sin. We dodge our responsibility. We blame others. We fail to realize that God's goodness. Why I say that? Sometimes when we face challenges, actually it's the time God give us opportunity to realize. God give opportunity to think, to rethink again and again that maybe God want me to admit this problem and repent. Just like the Israelites, just like Pharaoh, right? Repeat again and again. And of course, to make believe that we are on the God's side, sometimes we even stir up to commit a sin to cover up our self-guilt. Sometimes we stir up the events, just like what we discussed in this case, this Levi, sorry, turn too slow. This Levi man stir up others to commit the sin. And sometimes we offer superficial remedy. For example, they offer burn offering, peace offering, but after that, they still do the same thing. And pride, and also judging others. This is the symptoms of the justification, no, the self-justification, the problem of self-justification. Now, self-justification versus the justification by grace. What are the symptoms of justification by grace? The depths of Christ's love caused the suffering and the death of the Son of God. The strength of his love was so great, the strength of Jesus' love was so great, that his grace covered and cleaned all our ungodliness and the unworthiness and instilled God's great love in our heart, in our heart. You know, God's love, not merely observe God's love on the sideline, but convert the love of creation of Christ for us into love and the service to others. It is quite a large difference. So therefore, let us remember self-justification and the judgment go together as justification by grace and serving others go together. So I hope today you remember this difference between God's grace and justification by grace and self-justification and judgment. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing grace that you died on the cross to save us, that we are justified by your grace. Help us to think of your grace daily. That will help us to not to judge others because of self-justification. Lord, we thank you for your words. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.